Well, it's very important because it's an opportunity for us to raise awareness in South Sudan about this unique resource of historic documentary heritage, which is available in Juba. This is basically the only historic resource available in South Sudan. If you imagine that we don't have museums or monuments, this is a direct connection to the heritage and what unifies South Sudanese people. So it's really important to preserve it.
Great. And yesterday was the International Archives Day. Tell us about it. What was done on this particular day in South Sudan?
So the International Council of Archives, ICA, have been celebrating a week of archives all past week because the International Archives Day was on a Sunday. For us, we decided that we will be celebrating it today. A Sunday is not a very useful day to bring people together, but today we'll be having an event where a lot of dignitaries are invited, and it's this first event to launch a small exhibition that we have prepared. The exhibition comprises of historic posters. Posters that shows us a part of South Sudanese history, but also the heritage and the important figures that were part of the struggle for independence.
Great. Now, Yusuf, you are the Director General of Archives in South Sudan. Tell us, what do we have, I mean, in this, if you want, what kind of documents, what kind of information can we possibly get in these particular archives?
In South Sudan National Archive, we have documents since condominium period. It is administrative documents, and we have a lot of documents on roads, a tribal, and and then we have agriculture, education, and all these documents we have in our archive now. And they are accessible at this time, and anyone can access their documents in the archive.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, and Tako, you like to tell us more?
Yes, please. Thank you, Sebit. I would like to add on what the Director General have said. In archives, as he said, we have documents dated back in 1903. And then those documents are so vital because they cover like very many topics. For example, yeah, you can talk of forestry, as you said, games, holidays, agriculture, antiquities, aviation, borderings, and administrative actions, activities, defense schemes, and so on and so on, and there are many. So all these documents are available. And we actually want to tell our public to have access if they have time to, so that they go and see, because archives, okay, it, where they can also conduct their businesses. Yes.
All right. So today, UNESCO, in partnership with the Minister of Culture, Youth and Sports, and with support from the government of Norway, will celebrate Archives Day. What do we expect today? What do we expect at today's celebration? You already said there will be some exhibition. Tell us more about that.
Well, I mean, besides the exhibition, which I'm very excited about, and we've been working a lot together with Yusuf's team and Taco in particular, and also, of course, we are partnering with RVI that is helping us and working with us in terms of the research component, because there is a lot of information and knowledge behind these archives, which are important to make accessible to the public. What we are saying in the archives is that we are trying to make the paper archives into people archives. And what Peter was just saying is it's important for people to know that they have the right to access these archives. As any type of information, it's important, and it gives power to the people, because archives internationally are institutions which make sure that there is accountability and transparency. So for today, this exhibition, I think what we are anticipating is that we'll make people travel back in time, be proud of their heritage, and also recognize figures that played a very important role in South Sudanese history. Apart from that, I see it as an opportunity to also celebrate the people behind the archives, because we need to understand that just a few years back, the archives that you now find in the building, in our premises in Manuki, were actually just a big pile of papers lying on the floor with humidity and rodents. So it is a huge success that we have managed to reach where we are now, people coming and being able with keywords to research the archives.
Great. And how can people access this particular archives, National Archives, Mr. Yusuf?
Yeah. So, because we don't have a regulation and our bill is not yet out, it's a normal procedure. Just write a letter to the National Archive. What do you want from archive? What do you want to do? So if the information that you want, it's available, we said, okay, you can access the archive and you can do your research in archive at any time.
You know, just until 2011, South Sudan was part of Sudan. They had a lot of history together. And some of the things, you know, historical events might be in Khartoum. Is there a way of, has there been anything done like how they can get those more of that particular stories and put it in the National Archive of South Sudan?
Yeah. So in 2008, before independence, the government of South Sudan sent a delegation from South Sudan to Khartoum for the assets. So I was the one represented archive and museum. So we went to Khartoum and we discussed with museum and archive. So they said there's no problem, but they want to work on it to collect all the documents from the categories that they put in, and then they will send to South Sudan. But from that time up to now, because it is with a higher level of government, we didn't get the feedback yet.
And Tako, is there any, you know, some historical pictures that can be seen at this particular National Archives? And if any, what are they?
Yeah, thank you. There are historical pictures. We have those posters for the cabinet ministers of the former regional government from 1977, 78, 80, and 83. And particularly we have also, hopefully our guest today will be Cesar Baye, who is also there in those pictures.
And
plus Severino Bati, Madindi Ngaram, others.
These are the regional leaders before 1970s.
Yes.
All right. Now, how often do you get people visiting these National Archives?
Yeah. So many people visiting archive from different organization or different institution here in Juba. So we have UN volunteers also. They visit archive, and then diplomatic missions like ambassador of US, ambassador of Swiss, and then the embassy, the ambassador of Turkey, and then ambassador, the former ambassador of Canada. So we have a lot of people visiting archive, plus the these days, because of border issue, we have some members from parliament to come and as an individual to come and ask some questions about the border and about the information that
Yes, and basing on, you know, basing on what I read about Khartoum and a documentary I saw about archives, is one of the most unfunded, you know, section of the government sometimes. So what keeps you going every day, you know, and working there in this particular section that is not even very well funded? Why does it mean a lot to you as an individual working at this particular archives?
Yeah, so archive means to us a lot of things. First, archive now is the place where you can find information about the country. And then archive is also meant that we work on the papers that is available, are available to for the country. Mm-hmm. And most of them are more than 100 years and they are fragile. Mm-hmm. That's why we want to rescue these documents from that situation to preserve them for the coming
future generation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The generation coming. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why we always go to to archive, and we have been working with these since 2007. Okay. We collected them and then started sorting them and categorize them, and now cataloged and put in the boxes. Mm-hmm. So this is not the end yet, because we're still working on the preservation process. We are now working on loose papers so that to reinsert them in the original files, or to create for them new file. And then when we finish this, and then we'll go in also with the new project now with UNESCO and Norway, we're going to establish a conservation lab. So that we'll start also working on conservation, because some other documents are fragile and needs treatment. So that's what we are going to work on it. So the work of archive will not be end.
Okay.
So it will be continuously.
Yes, and Ellen, as UNESCO, what support are you helping? As you've heard, it's a little less funded. Other documents are really fragile. They needed to be, you know, sorted out. What help are you coming in here to ensure that these documents are at least, you know, maintained?
Yes, well, UNESCO has been working on this project since 2012. As I mentioned earlier, the initial state was it required emergency intervention. The Norwegian government has been supporting us since 2012, and we are very grateful for their generous support. Working with the Rift Valley Institute as well has been a huge help. This new phase of the project, we are looking into three, let's say, directions. One is preserving the documents, and then we're talking about the material. And as Yusuf mentioned, conservation is something which is really required. Then we're looking at safeguarding the actual content of the documents, because it's true that paper is a very fragile, it's a very difficult material to maintain and preserve when environmental conditions are hard. So the preservation or the safeguarding of the content means that we are digitizing the documents, which means that they will be made available for future generations. And the third element is what Peter was mentioning a little bit about this outreach program, because it's important that we not only keep these documents on their in their boxes, on their shelves, but really make use of them, because they have so much to give in terms of, you know, a sense of belonging, a sense of pride, and also I think they can be really instrumental in the peace and nation building process.
All right. Great. Let's begin with you, Taco. What will be your final remarks when it comes to these issues of archives? What message would you like to send out there?
Thank you, Sebit. My remark is, you know, archives is an authentic evidence of administrative and cultural or intellectual activities. So keeping it and making it accessible to people, instead of really in paper, you better make use of it. From paper archives to people's archives. In a way, we need to create awareness to our people that the information we have in archives, it is useful in our lives, in our daily businesses, in our daily activities. So we are encouraging our people to visit the archives so that they get information, then they make use of those information.
Great, Yusuf?
Yeah. So, archive is very, very important. Archive is not just to keep the past records. Archive is not just to glorify the past, mm-hmm. but we have to keep the archive for the generation to come. And archive will increase the sense of identity mm-hmm. when people understand the archive, and they will have habit of coming to archive. And people cannot, no one can change the past, mm-hmm. but everyone can change the future if we continue to recall the past.
All right.
But if we forget the past, we'll not also change the future.
Thank you, Yusuf. Yes, yeah. Ellen?
Well, I think I would just like to express my gratitude to these two gentlemen that are sitting here by my side, and mm-hmm. also the entire team that are at Munuki right now, because I'm truly humbled by their perseverance and their commitment to the work. And you really had a good question there about mm-hmm. what is it that actually motivates them to continue, because yes, the situation and the context is very hard and challenging, mm-hmm. but what they have achieved is really admirable, and it's all because of their hard work and on certain levels personal sacrifice, because they mm-hmm. they really have given a part of themselves to these archives, and without them I think we would not be sitting here today celebrating an archives day. Mm-hmm.